Good morning. It's good to see everyone this morning. I'm very thankful for the break in the weather and the warmer weather we've had. I hope it'll continue. I want to talk about the office of deacon this morning, and we have a very specific reason for that. I'll share with you at the end of this. The text is out of 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 13. I'll begin with an introduction before we go into the text, instead of doing a text and an introduction, so bear with me. There are some misconceptions in the church about the office of elders and deacons. The Greek word for elder is presbyteros, and I don't know if I pronounce that right or not, but which literally means an older man or a senior. Now, there are other defining names used in the scriptures for the role of Christian elders. And by Christian definition, overseers is one that's used, which literally means superintendents, shepherds, and or pastors. I heard a young Christian church minister very arrogantly, I thought, one time at a meeting I was at. He said, "The Christian church, we don't call our preachers pastors." And I thought, you know, that's foolish, because pastor means shepherd. And elders are called pastors and shepherds. Don't get caught up in that denominational dogma that it's, you know, oh, that's taboo to say pastor. Some people call me pastor, some do not. That doesn't bother me. I've been called a lot of things over the years in ministry. But it doesn't bother me if you call me that. It doesn't bother me if you do not. The Greek word deacon is diakonos, can refer to an attendant, a waiter, one who runs errands. In the Christian sense, it also means a teacher, a pastor, a minister, or a servant. Now, as I said, there's a lot of misconceptions. I've been in churches that were all deacons. They didn't have any elders. I've been in churches that had all elders and no deacons. And I find that in some churches, people believe a deacon is below an elder. You know, and that's not necessarily true. And we're going to look at this in the light of Scripture today, what the Apostle Paul has to say. The position of a deacon arose from a need within the early church. If you're familiar with the book of Acts, it said many of the believers, the Jewish Christians, sold their properties, and they brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. It said none of them claimed that anything they had was theirs. And they had been saved, they'd been filled with the Spirit, and the love of God was really prevailing in the early church. And they brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet and said, "You give this to anyone in the church that has need." Well, as the church grew, it became more time-consuming for these 12 apostles to distribute this food, this money, this clothing. It became a big task. And in the book of Acts, in chapter 6, we read that in those days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good report, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. So that's where the need came up in the early church. And I said there's misconceptions. Some people think that's all deacons are supposed to do. You know, in our bylaws, we have it written that a deacon can oversee ministries. They can be the go-to guy. They can provide resource materials. They can be the go-between between a ministry team and the elders. But sometimes people think that's where their responsibilities stop. And that's not scriptural. That has come through the years in man-made traditions within the church. We're going to look today at what the Apostle Paul considered to be the responsibilities of both deacons and elders. Focus, of course, is going to be on the deacon because that's what the message is about. Paul considered both of them to be of equal importance in the church, as both the elders and the deacons are leaders in the church. Father, I thank you for your word, the truth of your word. Lord, as we endeavor to look at the scriptures to see what your word says, help us to lay our prejudices aside. Maybe things we've been taught all of our lives that the scriptures kind of grate us. But Lord, help us to be a people of the word, to receive your word with meekness, and to concede that your word is the final rule in the church, not our opinions. And I ask this in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, now to the text. Paul says, deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, and let them also be tested first, and then let them serve as deacons, if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Now, I want to stop there a moment, and I want to interject something. I prayed about tradition. The word wives, according to some of the commentaries I've read, and Dr. James Strong's Concordance of the Greek, is actually deaconess, because Paul laid no... For the elders' wives, he didn't say elders' wives have to be this way. And most of the commentators agree that what Paul actually meant was the lady deacons. Now, don't get your tradition up and shut me out. Hear this. The early church used women as deaconess to minister to other women. When women were ill and couldn't attend church, the deaconess was the one who went to them. That way there was no chance of the elders being accused of improper behavior, being alone with these women. The women took care of the sick. These women deaconess, as I said, they visited women in the church that couldn't be at church. And before you get on your high horse and say there was no such thing, in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, Paul tells him that Phoebe is a deaconess of the church, a servant. And when Paul talked to Timothy about the widows in the church, he said no widow should be put on the roll of the church who is under 60 years old. And historically, it was those women whom the church elders would appoint as deaconess. And deacons, deaconess, and elders were paid what the church could pay them. So I wanted to interject that. I read that as deacons' wives, but ever since I found this out, it's hard for me just to go through that without pointing that out. Paul's not singling out the wives of a deacon. He's speaking of an office in the church called deaconess. They did not teach the men. Women in the church are not allowed to teach men. Paul said that. But they served the women in the church. And as it was in Acts, when Peter said, "You guys pick seven men, will ordain them to this task so we can focus on ministering the word." So these deacons had a very important role in the early church. They were the ones that distributed the money. They collected the money. They distributed the goods as needed. They served in whatever capacity they needed to in the church. Paul also said, let the deacons each be the husband of one wife, managing their children and their own households well. For those who serve well as a deacon gain a good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. Now, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife. There are three traditions within the church with that passage of Scripture. The Greek literally says, let him be a one-woman man. Some churches say, well, that means he can't be married, divorced, and remarried, and they stand on that. Others say, well, it means that he has to be a married man or he can't be a deacon or an elder. The translation that I hold with, and this is my opinion, What it means is an elder or a deacon cannot be flirtatious. The Greek implies he has to be faithful to his wife. The ladies in the church should never fear being alone with an elder or deacon. And if any lady in this church has a complaint against an elder in that area, you come and see me, because we will investigate that. We're not going to tolerate an elder in this church being flirtatious or coming on to women. We won't put up with that. So I'll just do that in. I won't charge you for that. I'm serious, though. Paul was saying that a deacon, in my opinion, he said a deacon must be faithful to his wife. Be a one-woman man is what the Greek literally says. Now, the qualifications for elders and deacons are the same. When you read 1 Timothy 3, they're the same. Very quickly, the elders were to be men of integrity, both inside and outside the church. Thus, they had to be men of good reputation. You could not be an elder if people outside the church could bring accusations against you. I've always used for an example, if you're a Christian businessman and you have a reputation of cheating people, of shorting people, if someone outside the church can complain to the elders, this guy is a cheat, he cannot be an elder in the church. And Paul said that elders have to have a good reputation inside and out. Now, we understand in today's world that there are people that's going to find fault with preachers, elders, deacons, no matter how well they conduct themselves. There's always going to be somebody trying to find fault. And that has to be taken in consideration. So Paul said in the scriptures, you do not receive an accusation against them except by the mouth of at least two witnesses, which goes back to the law of Moses. The elders were to be faithful to their wives. They were supposed to be sober-minded. They were to be self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not a drunkard, not violent, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, able to manage his own household well. Now, another reason that I believe Paul said not a lover of money, because elders were paid. The church tried to pay them as much as they could. And it would be easy for a man to make decisions. They were judges in the church, and so were deacons. They could judge matters in the church, and it'd be easy for them to be swayed by somebody that had a little more money than other people. Bribery is what it's called. A lot of these things are taken from the law of Moses, and the church was founded by Jewish Christians, so it makes sense that they took from the law. And God, in the law, he despised people accepting bribes. He said, when you make a judgment, you make it impartially. You don't favor one person over another. If this one's your buddy and this one's not, for example, he said, you don't favor your friend over the other person. You make righteous, fair judgments. And that's what Paul's saying here about elders and deacons. You have to be impartial. You have to judge justly and fairly. He says they cannot be violent. Still talking about elders. I guess deacons can. No, deacons can't be violent. Not quarrelsome. I'll quit goofing off. Not a lover of money. Able to manage their own household well. Deacons are to be men of integrity. Dignified. They are not to be double-tongued. What that means there in the Greek, you can't say one thing to one person and one thing to another. You can't ride the fence. Why? Because you're a leader. Deacons and elders are to be men of the Word of God. That is the bottom line. That is what they use to judge. That is what they use to conduct their own selves. That is their guideline. And if you stand in the church and stand up for the Word of God, but you go out here on the street and you don't, Paul said you have no business being an elder or a deacon. That's double-tongued. You say one thing to someone and say something else to another. So Paul said that's forbidden. They are not to be addicted to much wine. Now, most churches prefer that deacons and elders do not drink. Paul said every one of us should be convinced in our own mind. I'm not against someone having a beer with a meal or a glass of wine. The Bible doesn't condemn that. It condemns drunkenness. And the Greek there means to be addicted, to be dependent upon alcohol. If you're dependent on alcohol, that's your God. If you're dependent on marijuana, that's your God. Yeah. This means yes. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's the way it is. That's an idol. And Paul said, you can't be addicted to much wine. You remember Timothy, a pastor, Paul told him, take a little bit of wine for your stomach. I had a doctor tell me one time, alcohol does have a medicinal use, but he said, I don't recommend it because most Americans are not moderate. And if I say, well, have one beer a day, they'll think, well, six would be great. And I agree with him. He said, most Americans don't practice moderation. It says they cannot be greedy for dishonest gain. Again, that just like the elders, a deacon also handled the money in the church. They took in the offerings, the gifts. And it might be tempting for somebody to pocket a little bit of it. A lot of the TV preachers I've watched could not be a deacon or an elder in good standing in the first century church. I'm serious, they couldn't. To them, it's all about the money. And Paul said in the position of leadership of an elder or deacon, it can't be that way. He said he has to have a clear conscience pertaining to the faith. Again, he has to be above reproach. Now notice with the elders and the deacons, Paul didn't say they have to be perfect. They can't make mistakes. They can't have bad days. That's not what he's saying. But you see, Paul understood and taught that deacons and elders were both spiritual leaders in the church, that we are to lead by a godly example. And Paul said, if you can't do that, you don't need to be in the office. And that makes sense. If we are hypocritical in our conduct, if we are not sincere, if our goal is not to glorify Jesus Christ, then we have no business being in a leadership position. It can't be about us. I believe in respecting that office, but I don't believe in people bound down to it. So these qualifications are one and the same for elders and deacons. They're responsible to set an example before the church. Paul said to one church, you imitate me as I imitate Christ. I've never said that to anyone. I don't have as much confidence as Paul, but I strive with everything in me as an elder, as a minister, I strive to be a man of integrity and not to be doing things secretly that you wouldn't approve of. I try to be the same in this pulpit as I am at home or out here on the street or in the stores. Do I have bad days? Yeah. Do I get growly and grumpy? Yeah. I'm still working on it. But thank God, God didn't say elders and deacons have to be perfect. They have to be sinless. That's not what Paul's saying. But he said they have to be sincere in the faith. They have to be men of integrity. They have to be above reproach. You can't live one way on Sunday, be a Sunday Christian, and the other 6 days of the week be whoever you want to be. You can't do that. That disqualifies you for leadership. You're open to too much accusation in that case. All right. Stephen was one of the first deacons, one of the seven. And if you're familiar with the book of Acts, he was stoned to death. He was the first martyr because he was teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I said earlier, some people have a misconception. They think, well, deacons are just errand runners. They're servants. They do the menial tasks. Deacons are also to be qualified to teach. So they can teach in the church. Stephen was martyred because he taught the gospel of Jesus Christ and because he stood his ground. And they couldn't stand that and they killed him for it. He was the first martyr in the church to my knowledge. All right, now I'm bringing this to a close. Here's the reason that I brought this message today. It was suggested by a church member to me. We consider Steve Grady to be a deacon in this church. I spoke with Steve. I spoke with the elders. The elders spoke with Steve, and he said that he would be pleased, that he wants to serve in this church. The elders have talked about it in length, and we have decided that Steve is going to make a deacon, and we wish to ordain him as a deacon. Now, before this is done, I want to put this before the congregation. If anyone in here can give any good reason why you think Steve should not be ordained as a deacon, you speak now or forever keep your mouth shut. That's fancy for hold your peace. No one contends. But I'm going to ask Brother Steve, if he would, to please come forward, and Don and Wayne to please come forward. And we are going to ordain him to the office of deacon in this church. First deacon we've ever had. I hope it won't be the last. Just stand right there, brother, and face out. Let everybody see you. Holy Father in heaven, we lift up this brother in Christ to you. And Lord, we ordain him to the office of deacon according to your word. And Father, I pray that you will fill him with your spirit. Give him the spirit of wisdom. Give him the spiritual gifts that you want him to have for this office. I pray your blessing upon this man, upon his family. I pray that he and Tara will grow closer together and that they will set you as the center of their marriage, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will guide Steve in this office, that you will speak to him and let him know what you would have him to do, and help us to have open ears to listen to what he has to say to us. And I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. God bless you. Please come up and congratulate him.